Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD. Here on a Thirsty Thursday, November 20th, this is the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most local sports talk in town. You got the Junks Monday through Friday from 6 to 10. Michael Phillips is 10 to 12 noon. I'm 12 to 3 AWOD Radio before Grant and Danny drive you home. We bring on Michael Phillips right now for a segment we call Crosstalk on The Fan.
If I could just have your attention.
It's Crosstalk with Adam Epstein and Michael Phillips on The Fan. It's like that one 90s movie that everybody loved. What's the name of that movie? It's not Crosstalk, but it sounds like Crosstalk. It's Crosstalk on The Fan. Oh, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage. But this is Crosstalk.
Michael, yesterday we argued JMU. Today I'd like to argue about UVA in the college football playoffs.
This is fun. This is a series. I like this.
So I want to get your take on this. If UVA gets into the field, all right, with the current list of 25 teams, in the top 25, Virginia is ranked 14th, all right, ahead of them. Utah, Oklahoma, Texas, Notre Dame, Oregon, Texas Tech, BYU, Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama, A&M, Indiana, Ohio State. Of those 13 teams ahead of them, can UVA beat any of them?
BYU. I think they could beat BYU because I think the Big 12 is certainly, you know, I think we both agree the Big 10 is not as good as the SEC and probably a little bit overrated. But I think the Big 12 is still a cut below the Big Ten right now, so I want to play one of those teams. I think Texas Tech just has loads of talent, and not that BYU doesn't, but that feels like the one, you know, them in Utah. I would take BYU or Utah. I think Texas Tech would beat them.
I think there are several teams that they could battle with and maybe end up winning. Let me ask you this, Michael.
Three.
How
name
did they?
Three.
So are you giving them credit for beating Florida State, but not giving Florida State credit for beating Alabama?
What? No, this is so Alabama losing the first one, then going on a run. I think about like in high school, like Huguenot loses to St. Chris, terrible loss. They're 10-0 since then. They're undefeated. They're a formidable foe going into the playoffs. Like Alabama lost the first game. I hold that against them. And you know, I think a 3-loss Alabama team should be excluded from the playoff. But at the same time, you have to respect the team that played then is not the team playing now. And if Florida State and Alabama played that game again, even in Tallahassee, we all know who would win that game. I give UVA credit for being Florida State. I think Louisville is their best win of the season, not Florida State. But I think they have two solid victories on their resume.
But you're giving them no shot against any other team outside of BYU.
No, the talent gap's just so big, Adam. I mean, the gap between what UVA has, which is a good ACC team, and everybody else. I mean, look what happened to the ACC in the playoffs last year. And Clemson was a little bit of a different beast. But SMU got walloped, and that's the comparable here, right? These ACC teams are not ready for prime time. They are not ready to go toe-to-toe with the nation's best teams.
I just think it's all about the matchup, and a lot of people forget that, you know, Arizona State had Texas on the ropes last year. Like, I think that if it was a Big 12 team against UVA, I would pick UVA. And I know you're saying the Texas Tech is so good this year. I would pick UVA. I think the ACC is a better conference than the Big 12, and I will continue to argue that.
I would love to play Texas. Bring on Texas. I mean, gosh, can you imagine a more overrated team in America than Texas somehow still getting itself in the top 25 every week, even though all they do is prove they're
not actually good at football? But Texas is ahead of UVA. You only named BYU. So now you're saying UVA could beat Texas.
Texas is actually ahead of – no, you said 15. Texas isn't top 15, are they?
Texas is in at number 11.
That's completely absurd. That's really, yeah, okay. I add Texas to my list thing because that's absurd. Texas is I mean, yeah, that's ridiculous to me that they would be that high. Which conference did you say the ACC is better in than
the Big 12? The Big 12.
The Big 12.
Yes.
Look, I mean, we'd have to go team by team and debate it. I think you're probably your argument there's probably going to be like teams 4 through 8 in the ACC. I think aren't getting enough credit for being solid, whereas in the Big 12, I think there's more of a quick drop off. Like your Cincinnati's of the world are probably a little overhyped at the moment. The bottom line is you're probably not going to be playing one of them. You're probably going to be playing an SEC or a Big Ten team, and I just don't believe UVA could hang with any of those teams that would make it, unless Texas somehow stupidly makes it, which would be stupid, as previously mentioned.
Between the ACC and the Big 12, you have a similar number of teams in the top 25. I don't believe in Houston. I don't believe in Arizona State this year. I definitely don't believe in Utah this year. I would pick Miami over all of those teams. I would definitely pick Georgia Tech over those teams. I think UVA could beat them. So, like, what I'm saying is, if you are going off of the strength of the conference, I think it should be SEC 1, Big 10 2, ACC 3, Big 12 4.
See, now we are having the same argument we had yesterday, because you were trying to do this thing like the American Conference is better than the Sun Belt Conference, which is true. So you're like, obviously they will get the nod over the Sun Belt, and that's not how this works. The committee ranks teams; they don't rank conferences. The teams will be ranked, and the three Big 12 teams at the top, the two after they settle who's in the title game, will be better than the two ACC teams participating in the ACC title game.
How can you guarantee me that? So look at the overall records right now. What's the difference between UVA and BYU? What's the difference between UVA and Utah?
I think that – I know you hate the eye test. Paul Feinbaum was complaining about the eye test. Kevin Clark was on TV complaining about the eye test. Like, we play games. Why does anything – you know, nothing matters anymore. I think this is a committee that finally has the guts to do the job the committee should have been doing for a long time, which is it's a – 11-game sprint to the finish once you throw out your win over a 1AA team. It's a sprint to the finish. The teams that started the year aren't the teams that end the year. I love that the committee is willing to objectively look at these teams and decide on their merits who has a chance to be a national champion and who just has an inflated, gaudy record.
Right. So you are siding with the committee that Notre Dame lost to Miami, but look at the work they've done since then.
I am siding with the committee on that, though. I very much want to be on record as saying I believe Miami is the best team in the ACC and should be represented in the college football playoff.
You have so much Miami bias. You just love big brands. Is that what it is? I mean, dude, they lost to Louisville. They lost to Louisville and SMU.
They lost to Louisville in the weird Friday night game. Virginia Tech almost beat Miami in the weird Friday night game last year. Like, it's like losing Thursday night football. Like,
okay. So that's how UVA beat Florida State. Friday nights are here to stay in the ACC. It's not fluky.
Dude, the ratings say the Friday nights are very much here to stay in the ACC. That is for sure. Yeah. I think that Miami's got a chance to prove itself in the last game, which is more than a lot of these teams can say. I'm fascinated by Georgia Tech Pitt. To me, if Georgia Tech beats Pitt and could hang with Georgia, not necessarily beat them, but hang with them, that could be a potential second team if they lose the ACC title game too, because they could close their season really strong.
If UVA beats Tech and UVA beats Georgia Tech, would you feel differently about them winning a game in the CFP?
No, I would not. The only thing that would make me feel better is if they played Texas or BYU somehow in the college football playoffs. I don't believe UVA could beat any of those top six teams.
So what about this, Michael? So if Georgia Tech beats Georgia and then the following week loses to Virginia, would that change your mind?
That might change my mind, yeah. Because then we'd be talking about, I mean, that would be a mega, mega win for sure. Like that's the sort of thing that changes perception to win like that. I would spot you that one. You have found the hypothetical that breaks me. Congratulations.
I also don't think Florida State is as bad as everybody says they are. They have a ton of NFL talent. And like that's how they beat Alabama. The NFL talent showed up in that game. They've been inconsistent, especially at quarterback. But there's a reason Florida State beat Alabama. All right. I think Florida State has a lot of talent.
I want to give UVA full marks for beating Florida State, which was a very nice win at home that they earned with really good play. And I want to give Chandler Morris his full flowers. He has been great this year. I think the defense has been solid. I think they've made a step forward. I also think, on the whole, this is not a UVA team that is going to intimidate anybody from a major conference in a college football playoff game.
That's Michael Phillips, MP on the mic. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Welcome back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most local football talk in town. We got the 804 high school football walkthrough tonight. Gary Hess, Gary Criswell, Hokie Steve. And every Friday night, you can hear the 804 broadcast game of the week. We talk all things college football every day on AWOD Radio. And joining us right now to talk about the Dukes is the radio voice of the James Madison Dukes on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. It's Dave Riggert. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Adam. It's a good day to be a Duke. It's always a good day to be a Duke, but things are rolling right now, so everything's going great. Hopefully you are well.
Absolutely, and we've been arguing on the show all week long about the college football playoffs, the top 25 that was revealed, and the 12-team bracket, and the discussion has been, why is there so much bias for the American Conference of all conferences?
It's a great question, and I think I'm in the same boat as probably most of you are, but there does seem to be a bias that no matter what happens the rest of the way, that the committee certainly wants the American champion to be that group of five, group of six team to get that final spot in the college football playoff. It's I don't know. It's kind of mind-blowing. And some of the things that they said, obviously there was a conference call afterwards, and some of the things have been leaked on questions that were asked and how they responded. And they kept bringing up the strength of schedule. And, yeah, it is what it is. We thought this was going to be a pretty daunting schedule going into this season. It hasn't turned out to be that way when the likes of Liberty aren't nearly as good as what you thought. Texas State, Louisiana were picked to go 1-2 in the West. They're not as good as what we originally thought. So they're playing the schedule that they were given. They're blowing these teams out. They keep talking about Tulane playing these three Power Four teams and beating two of them. But and my take was just like, well, Washington State, they've always been a Power Four, Power Five team. So is that going to count for the Dukes this week if they go beat them? Would that count as a Power Four win? I don't think in the committee's eyes it would, but it should, because they've always been in the Pac-12. That was a power conference, so they still should be considered that, right? I don't know that they do. And then what if JMU plays Purdue, who's terrible this year, Oklahoma State, and they beat them? So that should weigh more than beating an Old Dominion who beat Virginia Tech by a zillion points, and then James Madison hammered them by their worst margin of defeat this year. A lot of it doesn't make sense on what they're saying. One of the things they talked about, oh, we have a lot of respect for JMU. Their defense is really good. Well, are you watching the games? Because over the last five games, they've had one of the best offenses in the entire country, averaging 46 points and 530 yards per game. Yeah, it took a little while to get going, but the last five games, they've been almost the best offense in America. So they don't even give mention to that. So I don't even know if these guys are watching JMU and using the eye test to see how good they really are.
Preach, Dave, preach. We love it. We are pissed off as well. A lot of our anger is for Virginia and the way they're at. And also, I have a bias towards the ACC. I can't believe Miami, with the same record as Notre Dame, is not ahead of them with a head-to-head win. I think the follow-up question to you would be, if JMU beats Washington State at Coastal and wins the Sun Belt, is that enough for their argument to be that they deserve to be the G5 representative?
In my mind, it is, but I don't think it is in the committee's mind. I really don't. I don't think that they'll put them in. I think they think that the American is that much better of a conference that champion will get that group of five spots. So I don't think it's going to be enough. Now, I was talking with some folks, and you know, what if they go out? What if they hammer Washington State this weekend? What if they hammer Coastal Carolina on the road, who right now is the second best team in the East?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a good win on the road. Washington State, they have a 2-point loss at Virginia, 3-point loss at Ole Miss. This would be a really good win against Washington State because they are very good. If they play Southern Miss in the championship game, or whoever they play in the Sun Belt championship game, that would be a good win. If they go hammer these teams and they're not close, like the margin of victory, I think, has been 24 points over the last four or five games. If they go do that with these three opponents, could that put them in the conversation? I think it could if the American does struggle. I don't think Tulane and North Texas are going to lose again. They play Temple, Rice,
right,
and they don't play teams that probably will challenge them. But what if they only win by 7 points? What if they win by 10 points and JMU's just hammering these teams? I mean, I feel like they could still get in the conversation. If it's probably going to have to come down to style points and how bad they beat them. And that's I hate to say that, but I think it does come down to that. And maybe it's an ugly American championship that is a 10-7 game. Neither team plays well. They just turn the ball over and JMU clobbers whoever they play in the Sun Belt championship game. I think that's the only way they have a chance right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the argument we've been making here. It's going back and forth. Like, does JMU have the games on their schedule to build their resume up to be ahead of North Texas or Navy or Tulane? And it's hard to say. The answer is yes. I mean, just based off of what the committee has put out there, I think they're going to end up picking an American team. And what I'm going to hate is, at the end of the day, if it's a team with two losses and JMU only has one.
Yeah, that's the one thing that'll be really frustrating. I think North Texas has more of a case than Tulane does right now, and they should be screaming just like JMU is. So I think those are the two teams that really have the biggest gripe with Tulane getting in there, especially when they have a loss. I know they won two Power Four games, and the committee looks at that. They lost to UTSA by 22 points, who also lost to Texas State, who JMU beat by 30-plus points. So shouldn't that play a factor when you're looking at some comparative scores and everything like that? I think that's a terrible loss for Tulane, and that team also lost to a team in the Sun Belt that hasn't been very good in the Sun Belt. So you're saying that the Sun Belt isn't as good as the American, but one of the lower-tiered Sun Belt teams beat one of the mid-tier American teams pretty bad. So, again, a lot of it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and to be honest, a lot of these mid-major conferences are so similar that you should just take a team with a better overall record. So JMU hopefully could take care of business and everything will work itself out. So what is your preview for JMU Washington State?
I think this is going to be a really tough physical game. Washington State, again, they don't have the sexy record. They're not 8-3 or 8-2 or whatever it is. They're 5-5, and they've had some games where they have not been very good this year. They lost to a terrible Oregon State team 10-7 in a bad game. They played an Idaho team that's okay at the FCS level and won 13-10. But then they went to UVA, and a crazy safety late in the game. That game's tied. They've got the ball. They lose by 2 at UVA. They go to Ole Miss, who's 6th in the college football playoff rankings right now. They lost by 3 and were leading most of that game.
Yeah.
So this is a very capable team, and they're even though they're on the other coast and these two teams have never played each other, there is a lot of familiarity because their coach, Jimmy Rogers, was at South Dakota State, and obviously South Dakota State has been at one of the FCS powers for a long time, won the national championship a couple of years ago. JMU's had some good battles with SDSU over the years, but Coach Chesney, when he was at Holy Cross, they played them twice in the playoffs, so it's a very similar opponent to what they saw then. A lot of South Dakota State players are playing at Washington State right now, and they're kind of built Midwest. We think of Washington State as Ryan Leaf, Cam Ward, all the quarterbacks they've had, Gardner Minshew, where they throw the ball all over the field. That is not this team. They want to run the ball, and they want to play defense, and right now they're a top 30 defense in the country despite their offense not being very good. They average about 300 yards per game offensively, which is not good, which is, I think, 111th in the nation, but they're top 30 in the country in defense, giving up only about 300 yards per game. So they stop the run, they're physical, and I think this is going to be a good challenge for the Dukes. This is a team that isn't afraid to go. They're again, this is their second trip to the Commonwealth. They flew across the country and played UVA. They played that in Louisiana earlier this year. So they've gone all over the place to try and fill their schedule in this transition of the Pac-12 and whatever it is right now. And again, they'll have a league next year. But it's been a challenge for them. But this is a physical, tough-minded football team that I think will give the Dukes some problems this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been paying attention to the Pac-2 this year, it's very interesting. And we're going to go in circles, but this is what's going to piss me off again, which is, all right, that's a Pac-12 team in Washington State, and I think it's going to be a heck of a game that James Madison, if they win, should get a lot of credit for. But the committee's going to say, this team lost to Virginia, lost to Ole Miss. We don't care that it was close. They lost to North Texas. Again, I don't think they're going to really credit JMU for what it should be worth to win this game.
100%. I completely agree with you because, like I said earlier, I feel like this should be counted as a Power 4 win if they can win this game. So that should give them more credit in the eyes of the committee if they actually watch these games, because this is a team that has always been at the Power 4, Power 5 level. So just because they're in flux right now and not in a conference, Notre Dame's not in a conference. Are they a Power 4 school? Yes. I mean, they're not going to get the credit they deserve if they can win this football game, and that's too bad. Now maybe they'll prove us wrong. Maybe all of a sudden, if the Deuce can go play great this weekend, get a big win, maybe all of a sudden the committee rethinks things. I don't think that'll happen, but they should get way more credit, even for playing this game. But if they can win this game, I think they should get a ton of credit for this.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully Tulane falls to Temple or something like that. Let me ask you this, though. All right, so we're all pissed off about the rankings and the way things will play out this year. It just seems unlikely that they'll be put in because of the way the committee has put things out there today. How set up are JMU for next season with the roster they have?
They're set up pretty good. They've got some of the transfers that came in still have time left. Obviously, Landon Ellis is one of those that came from Richmond, and he's got another year left. Alonzo Barnett is only a junior. A lot of the offensive linemen are still back. They've got Joe Simmons and Carter Sweezier back. They'll lose Riley Robel comes back, so 3 of the 5 offensive linemen are back. They've got some young receivers that still are very capable and haven't got as much time as they wanted to, but still a stable of backs right now. I mean, Wayne Knight, he can come back next year. George Pettaway can come back next year. And again, can they? There is a difference of can they come back and will they come back. But this staff has shown if it does stay together, and that's always a question mark too because of the success they're having, can they retain these guys, re-recruit these guys, and retain as many as possible, which they did a good job of doing that last year. Yes, they lost a few, but they retained the Jacob Thomases, the Trent Hendricks, the Emmanuel Bushes. Even Alonzo Barnett, even though it was going to be harder for him to go anywhere because of his knee. But they have a great nucleus in place. And with this coaching staff, they have shown that they can recruit the right type of people to make it work and make this a true team. So I have every confidence in the world that they're set up for the long haul, that this staff can stay together.
You know, if the committee had some stones, they would put Chesney against Cignetti. Round one.
I was talking about that with somebody the other day that, you know, and this was before the rankings came out, but I think it was on Sunday with somebody. I was just like, if Indiana would lose to Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship, would they drop to 5? Potentially. They may still be in the top 4, but they could drop to 5 depending on what happens in the SEC. And then if JMU would be able to get that 12th spot, all of a sudden you see that matchup in Bloomington. That would be absolutely insane, incredible. Whatever you want to call it, it would be awesome to see that happen.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And just to follow up, though, I do believe SEC title game, Big Ten title game, the losers should not be punished. Do you agree?
I think you're right. I agree. I mean, I think the top 4 almost kind of set right now, as long as there's not a blunder in the regular season. So I think those top 4 are set. They've shown they've been the best team, the most consistent teams all year long. So I think you're probably right.
Dave, thanks a lot for the time, man. Great stuff.
Absolutely. Anytime, Adam.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Welcome back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. You know, I've entered into a trend here, Jeremy, that I know is going to come back to haunt me over the holidays. I've gone to Dunkin' Donuts now the last 4 Thursdays in a row.
Oh, no.
To get myself a breakfast sandwich and a cup of coffee. Got you a breakfast sandwich last week. Got Stub one the week before. And it's just like, once I start this pattern, it's hard to get off of it. Like, this morning, my stomach was starving. I ate a full dinner last night. I don't know why I was so hungry. It was like my belly knew. Hey, it's Thursday, AWOD. You got to go to Dunkin'.
Got to go to Dunkin'.
Got to get your breakfast sandwich and your cup of coffee. It's time for Dude Food here on AWOD Radio.
Dude Food.
We're not responsible for the content of this program or anything we say when we're really hungry.
Where's my food?
Dude, where's my
food?
The most delicious food you've ever tasted.
Yes!
I can eat this off a flip-flop!
He loves food.
Dude Food.
So Jay Money on the board has taken over the duties done by Stub. And, you know, Stub was our fast food foodie. He ate a ton of Taco Bell, Wendy's, McDonald's. Jeremy, Are you health conscious?
I can't really make that claim. I wish I was. I wish I was, and I'm not going to lie, I'm trying, but the dinner's the only thing that's even a little bit health conscious.
Okay. Would you consider yourself a fast food foodie?
Recently, yeah. I mean, you gotta go here, and then I got drive to my other job after this, and that's my lunch break, too. So the fast food is really the only thing.
Have you been eating in the car from one job to the other?
Oh, yeah. It's
what does your passenger side door look like? Is it filled with Taco Bell and McDonald's?
No, that's disgusting. That's disgusting. I clean it out every time. I can't have empty bags in my car. I would see people with that, and I was like, that can't be me. I need to have room for people to sit there. That's what
see,
it's for.
See, mine, I don't like bags of food. But I've got cups of coffee on the floor. A lot of empty Starbucks and Dunkin' cups in my car. But I usually clean it once a month. Here's a story we want to bring up here on Dude Food. Taco Bell and Venmo collab with a new Venmo Taco Belt. Taco Bell and Venmo. That's a weird collaboration just to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
They have entered into a collaboration to introduce a new blue belt with a taco holder attached to the Venmo Taco Belt. The spelling is a play on words. The Taco Bell Venmo Taco Belt is a handcrafted item, and it is previously made with custom leather. So they're basically making a wallet? I'm so out on this.
Is this like a taco holster? What is this?
It kind of seems like that. But like I might have to just Google image it to see what the hell this is. They're using Glenn Powell and Shibuzi to promote it, which is kind of funny to me. Like, that's a weird combo right there. But yeah. So it is this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It is like a fanny pack on your belt that will hold your taco. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What is going on? This is actually stupider than the Starbucks glass bear that people were fighting about last week.
I think this is hilarious. I love this.
You love this?
I
could wear this. This actually might be perfect for you, going from job to job. Just have a taco on your belt.
I don't think I could ever wear this, but this is hilarious, and I love it so much. For those who are not seeing it, you should look it up. It's literally just a belt with like a taco attachment. It's like a whole pocket.
I like how in the photo they're pouring the hot sauce on it. Like, it's not going to just fall off as soon as you move. That hot sauce is going to get into your crotch immediately. I promise you that. So that's what Taco Bell is up to in the news. Does Jeremy know about King's Hawaiian Rolls?
I am aware of King's Hawaiian Rolls, yes.
They're terrific. You got to go home and make yourself grilled cheese with one of those suckers. They're not health conscious. They're a ton of calories. But they have a new King's Hawaiian they're coming up with that is going to be Bing Crosby inspired, a gingerbread house kit for the holidays. Anything King's Hawaiian Rolls does, I am all in on. It's just the most, it's like the softest tasting roll ever. It's up, I might say it's a better than a brioche roll. And that's like usually my go-to. Anything dude food that you wanted to bring up today, Jeremy?
Yeah, I did a Friendsgiving last weekend.
Nice.
And it's a little early for Friendsgiving, but everyone had already claimed the normal Thanksgiving items. You know, the turkey, the mashed potatoes, the mac and cheese, whatever. All that had been taken.
Okay.
So I was talking to my friend that I was going to go with, and they were like, you should bring rolls to Thanksgiving. I had never heard of this being a Thanksgiving staple in my life. They were very specific. They said you needed to bring frozen bread rolls to the Thanksgiving, and it would make or break the dinner.
These dairy yeast rolls are amazing. They're at every Thanksgiving I've ever been to. Your friends are right. The rolls are awesome.
I guess I'm the one missing out there, because I was unaware that this was a thing.
Yeah, I've had King's Hawaiian rolls before, but yeah, dinner rolls are very popular at Thanksgiving. And here's, I think, why. Is because you buy them for Thanksgiving. You don't really eat them on Thanksgiving. It's for the leftovers. You open up that dinner roll, that sucker, you put some the jam on it, right, the cranberry sauce, then you put your stuffing, and you make yourself a nice little turkey sandwich with the dinner roll. So you brought dinner rolls to Friendsgiving, or it hasn't happened yet?
It's done. I brought it. It happened last weekend. Mission success.
Nice.
Apparently, it wasn't quite the right one. They sent me a picture of white bread and said this, but frozen. So I wasn't quite sure what to get, but I found something in the grocery store. It was good enough. It passed the test. Dinner was a success.
I love to hear that. I was living in Scott's Addition for a long time, and when I was there, it was the son of Scott's, A1 and Scott's. You could always see me going out and about and partying, and I said, this place is missing something. It's missing a damn pizza joint. It's missing a pizza by the slice. It feels like it has everything in Scott's Addition. You got 5 or 6 bars. You got 7 or 8 restaurants. You got a lot of maybe double-digit breweries. They're all over Scott's. But, like, late-night food, it was lacking. You had tacos and Zuboka, Don't Look Back. They had you covered for tacos, but not pizza. And if you know this show, the pizza's always banging after midnight. I need my pizza slice before I go home. And Scott's Addition now has that. Pizzeria Mungo has opened in Scott's Addition, and it is a New York-style pizza joint, and it just had its grand opening, and it is in the place of the former Big Wife's Mac and Cheese. So I wanted to make sure I bring that up today on Dude Food. So you are from Northern Virginia?
Yeah.
Went to JMU, and now you're here in Richmond. One of the themes of Richmond around the holidays is themed pop-up bars.
Okay.
Here's the one you have to go to. You might need to get a hookup to get in, because the line is super long. The Jasper in Carytown, they call it the Miracle on Cary.
Okay.
The Jasper is already a very nice bar. Have you been there?
I haven't been there. I've heard of it, though.
Yeah. They do the coolest thing during the holidays out there. So the takeover is from November 19th, yesterday, to December 30th. They're fully booked within minutes. Apparently, I have a hookup. All right, and so I'm gonna go out and go to. I haven't actually been since college. I got a hookup when I was in college, my senior year. But Miracle on Cary, if you haven't been, it's like the coolest thing ever. But there's all these different like pop up theme bars in Richmond during the holidays. The Evergreen at Birdie's is open right now. That runs through January 6th, and they're doing holiday specials. The Jefferson downtown, the hotel, will be dripping with holiday stuff starting December 1st. And so I've got a list here by Axios, but the one at the top of the list absolutely is Miracle on Cary. Bar West, which is the sister restaurant of our favorite place in Scott's, River City Roll, instead of doing the North Pole or the South Pole, what do you think Bar West is doing?
I've got a guess. Is it West Pole?
The West Pole. Yes, near the West End. They've got reservations opening up as early as November 25th for their holiday-themed pop-up. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. If there was any local new food news, give us a call. You're on Dude Food, 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Yesterday was a party, a full day celebration of all things Virginia Tech athletics because of the home run hire, the grand slam. They got their guy in James Franklin. He takes over as the head coach of the Virginia Tech Hokies. He's already been recruiting. He's already reached out to, it feels like, 40 or 50 players. He'll have a ton of recruits at the game this weekend. Joining us right now to break down all things Virginia Tech athletics from Tech Sideline, it's David Cunningham. What's up, David?
How's it going, man? Been a pretty busy and chaotic last couple days.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you this. How big of a name is James Franklin to the casual college football fan?
I think he's huge. I think if you've watched college football for the past 15 years, you know who James Franklin is. He's the guy who elevated the Penn State program, won a Big Ten championship, went to numerous college football playoffs, was a drive away from a national championship game last year. I think everybody knows Penn State, even the casual football fans, and that's James Franklin, or he was Penn State up until a couple months ago. And I think that's why this is so big, Adam. On our podcast yesterday, we recorded with David Teal that we do weekly. David Teal brought up a great point that if James Franklin were to retire today, he would be a Hall of Fame head coach, a shoe-in I mean, he has a career winning percentage of like 68 or 69%. It's ridiculous how much he has won. And Virginia Tech, all the stars aligned, and he is now in Blacksburg, and man, he's hit the ground running.
I'm not going to argue with David Teal. I believe in everything David Teal, but that's very interesting to say that if he would retire today, he'd be a Hall of Famer. I actually think, we talked about this yesterday, that it goes hand in hand. James Franklin's success at Penn State coincided with Virginia Tech's fall off from winning 10 games per year because he was getting all the recruits.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing is he is such a good recruiter going back to his days when he was at James Madison for a season back in the late 90s when he had two different stints at Maryland. He was at in Nashville at Vanderbilt. He was in, you know, State College up at Penn State. And he has really plucked the best talent from the Commonwealth of Virginia for the last, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
And now he's coaching the Hokies, who they like to, you know, Virginia Tech likes to say, flagship university of the state. I mean, James Franklin, man, like, he's one of the best coaches, as I just said, in college football. And now he is in the flagship program of this state and in his own recruiting ground again. You know, at Penn State, they did a really good job of bringing in the best talent from Virginia and from around this region. But you do it at Virginia Tech, man, it just only elevates the program. You think back, kind of the point you just made, you think back to all the different coaches that have coached at Virginia Tech in the last decade, Justin Fuente, Brent Pry. James Franklin was a thorn in their side on the recruiting trail, he and his staff, for the last decade, and now he gets to do it for the Hokies. I think a lot of Virginia Tech fans probably felt a little bit weird about him just because he's been so good on the recruiting trail and taking guys away from the Hokies for so long. And now it's like, wow, he's doing it for our team now. That's pretty different.
What's going to be interesting is going to be see how he navigates this offseason here, because although he's a king of recruiting, I don't think recruiting high school talent is going to be the way to become relevant again in the ACC. I think it's going to start by the 17 people that opted out of Penn State, right, that they're going to enter the transfer portal, going after guys from in the ACC or in the Big Ten that enter the transfer portal. How much of next season's team is going to be, you think, high schoolers that he has recruited versus transfer portal talent?
I think a lot of it will be transfer portal talent, but you have to keep in mind, Adam, we're not really sure, I don't even think he knows yet, what guys from this current team are going to stay and go.
Yeah.
There are some talented players on this Virginia Tech football team. Don't get that twisted. The Hokies do not have a good record this year, but you look at a guy like Jeffrey Overton, who is a who came in early as an early enrollee back in last December, and he tore his ACL and he's finally getting going. He's a guy who it's like James Franklin probably should prioritize him. Marcellus Hawkins, another running back. Kamari Copeland, a guy from the 757, who is a dude on the defensive line. There are some guys on both sides of the ball. But to answer your question, I think it'll be an interesting mix. I think they'll go very high school recruiting heavy to start and then fill in the gaps of the transfer portal, but maybe over-recruit because guys, you don't know necessarily until you really get into the roster management how many of these guys on your own team right now are going to stay and go. I think that's complicated because the numbers, it's a fluid situation, of course, when you get a new head coach. The numbers are always changing. But I think it'll start, I mean, he's going to make a huge splash this weekend when the Hokies host Miami, first full recruiting weekend, official visit weekend for him and his staff. And then, you know, you look ahead to signing day, which is in less than 2 weeks. My guess is a lot of these guys who have decommitted from Penn State, they're taking visits. They might end up swinging over to Virginia Tech and committing. And that's how you hit the ground running a little bit. But I do think it's going to be a little bit more of a portal-heavy team just because they are going to have so many resources to go out and spend when the January portal window opens. And at that point, they will have had 2 months or so to really get a good feel of, hey, here's what we've got. Here's what we need. Let's go identify the best players in the portal and go get them.
David Cunningham with us here on the Hadeen Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. I do think the most important position – to get in the portal is going to be quarterback. I mean, you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, but I don't think next year's starting quarterback is currently on the roster. I'm going to say this right now. I think Hokies fans, if you haven't heard this name, should get to know the name Colton Joseph, who had 300-plus yards, three touchdowns against Virginia Tech this year as the quarterback of the ODU Monarchs. Where do you think James Franklin goes for his quarterback, and do you agree that's the most important thing in the transfer portal?
Absolutely. Most important thing. And you know, quarterback, I think it could be a little bit of a knock on James Franklin. I think that was the position that they did really well with at times at Penn State, and then other times you're scratching your head a little bit going, what's going on here? I think quarterback is huge, and I don't think that there is a quarterback on the roster that will be starting for Virginia Tech next season. I think it's going to come from the transfer portal. And you have the funds, Adam, to go get whoever you want. Like, that is crazy to say, but Virginia Tech can go get anybody, any quarterback it wants. Now, you're obviously going to be recruiting against the top programs, you know, the Texases, the Alabamas, whatnot, right? But James Franklin, man, he is a recruiter. This is what he does. And you're right. You mentioned Colton Joseph. He's a guy who I think would undoubtedly be on James Franklin's radar, especially because of James Franklin's familiarity with Ricky Ronnie, the head coach of ODU, who's his former offensive coordinator. I think it's going to be so interesting to watch over the next couple of weeks, Adam, just how this whole thing shakes out, because the Hokies are going to go head first into the high school recruiting angle of it. And because the portal doesn't open until January, that gives Franklin and his new staff so much time to figure out what do we need. And guess what? You might have some Penn State guys, you know, entering the portal and coming over too. You know, they still haven't figured out their head coaching situation yet. But there are a lot of different areas I think he's going to pull from. But yeah, you've got to go get yourself a quarterback, man. I think they can, but that and the combination with the offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach, I think that's really the make or break for next year.
Yeah, I'm with you, and you know, I'd be keeping an eye on the staff as well. Like you said, he's been loyal to his guys in the past, and Ricky Ronnie was one of them. Let's transition to the college football playoffs, and this will affect Virginia Tech. The ACC has to grow every year. They got two teams in last year. It's going to suck if they take a step back and get one in. But I also think it's important that team gets in has a chance to win a game in the college football playoffs this year. Your thoughts on the rankings, how Miami has kind of been unfairly left out in my mind, and what it would take for Virginia Tech or Georgia Tech?
Yeah, well, I think UVA is pretty well positioned. Same thing with Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is, I think, the second highest ranked ACC team. I think the hope is that it's those two teams meeting in Charlotte and the winner gets in. You hope that Miami can get in maybe as an at-large. I do think it is interesting that Notre Dame is so far ahead of Miami, but the Hurricanes do have, I think, one more loss. This is the ACC, though. Like, if you are James Franklin, Adam, you look at this league and go, we can do something here. Like, Clemson has been up and down. Florida State's been up and down. Miami has talent, but seems to stumble here and there. And, you know, who knows if the Hurricanes stumble this weekend in Blacksburg. This is a must-win game for them, as everyone is going down the stretch. But if you're James Franklin, you look at this ACC, I think, and go, man, there's something for the taking here. There's no Ohio State. There's no Michigan. There's no Oregon. You don't have to go through some of these big dogs. Yes, Clemson and Miami and Florida State are all going to be good at different times or maybe all at the same time, depending on the year. But, man, I think this year is huge for the ACC because you really get a sense of can they get somebody in that is not necessarily Clemson? Because Clemson, of course, won the ACC title and got in. And SMU had a terrific season last year as well. It's a little bit different this year. You can't necessarily stumble. This is a big test for the league. And I think it'll be very interesting to see how Miami is judged going forward. I think being judged a little bit unfairly, but the best thing in their interest is kind of blowing out Virginia Tech and potentially a quality win next weekend against Pitt. Two okay games left on the schedule. Pitt obviously was sort of in ACC title contention too. So this is such an interesting dynamic, interesting situation, but I think from the Virginia Tech perspective, Adam, James Franklin's probably licking his chops going, there's opportunity here in this league.
Can you remember a Commonwealth Cup that had this much weight? It feels like UVA's season will be on the line for Virginia Tech. They got the new head coach. You know, it'll be all about, you know, recruiting and having the momentum going into next season. How big is this Commonwealth Cup?
I think it is big. Virginia Tech has the opportunity to play spoiler here, Adam. Not going to a bowl game. But these last two games for the Hokies, Miami at home, Virginia on the road. And these are your two rivals. These are the two teams you want to beat more than anybody. And you have an opportunity to, despite everything that's gone on this season, all the turmoil, all the noise, all the excitement, all the highs and lows, you have an opportunity to go end the season on a high and in some cases play spoiler and ruin the other team's season. I think the Commonwealth Cup is going to be an intriguing game simply from the perspective of the Hokies don't really have much to lose, if anything. They have dominated this rivalry for so long, but even in the situations where UVA has had a far and superior better team, and those have been few and far between, Virginia Tech has still figured out a way. You know, the only time Virginia has won in the last handful of years was in 2019. That was a really good UVA team. That was a game for the Coastal Division title and a berth in the ACC title game. This is such a unique scenario because Virginia is on the cusp of trying to get into the ACC championship game, on the way to the College Football Playoff, hopefully. And yet you've got a Hokies team that is really down in the dumps, doesn't have much to lose, but man, you get a rivalry game, you get those juices flowing, and everybody wants to win. And I think the other thing here, Adam, is Virginia has looked susceptible at times. Maybe not last week against Duke, because that was a very, very strong showing, but Wake Forest, North Carolina, I mean, there have been opportunities. If the Hokies play it right, they could be in this game.
David Cunningham, managing editor at Tech Sideline, can be followed at The Real D Cunna. Thanks a lot, man. Always appreciate it.
Sounds good, man. Talk to you soon.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.